Turn to Psalms chapter 33. Psalms 33. I appreciated what Jerry said this morning about not knowing where to start, knowing what he wanted to teach on, but not knowing where to start. I have the opposite problem. I always know where to start. I just have no idea where it's going to go from there. but at any rate, I want us to read a verse here with the thought in mind that, of course, yesterday was the 4th of July, the day we celebrate it's the birthday of our country. And we were trying to tell Noah about that last night, and he couldn't fully comprehend how a country could have a birthday, understanding what he understood about birthdays. But I guess it's like the 249th birthday of our country, and somewhere around there. And or 39th, maybe. At any rate, I was thinking about some things in relation to our country, and I posted some things on Facebook, and I wanted to talk to you today about liberty, but the greatest liberty of all, and that's the liberty that we have in Christ Jesus, that far exceeds even the liberty that we have in this country. One of the things I posted yesterday, that regardless of how corrupt and terrible our country had become, I still didn't know of another country I'd want to live in. I had one fellow recommend, or wrote back and said, well, I can think of a lot. And so I started to just use my normal mean self and reply to that. But I decided to just let well enough alone, because my thought was, well, you know, passports are not that expensive. And you know, I always get amused at people that talk about hating this country and so forth and so on, but they're still here. And even with all the freedom that we've lost, and when I say freedom we've lost, the government continually has taken away the rights of the people. I mean, you think about the fact that people are required to have health care insurance. If they don't, they pay a penalty. I mean, it's one thing after another. And yet, We are blessed to have the freedom that we have right now. And we don't know how long that will last or if it will last. But what I do want you to understand is that God today is not dealing with nations. I had a man tell me last Monday, he said, that famous quotation, I guess Billy Graham made famous years ago, that if God doesn't judge America, he'll have to apologize to Sodom and Gomorrah. Well, folks, God is not judging nations today. The good news is that God judged sin 2,000 years ago, and with the proclamation given through the Apostle Paul, we understand that God is not judging sin today. He judged sin 2,000 years ago. And if he were judging sin today, I can assure you none of us would be here. Because if you go back and look under the law, we would all have been stoned to death, put to death, or whatever. God is not judging sin today. He judged it in his Son, Jesus Christ. God is not dealing with nations today in the sense of blessing nations based on their attitude toward God. Now, there will come a time, and it's recorded in Matthew 25, when there will be a judgment of the nations. The Bible says here in Psalms 33:12, blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he hath chosen for his own inheritance. And I know for years, I'm 68 years old, and all of my life I've heard about how we are a Christian nation. And we are not a Christian nation. And as far as I can tell, we never have been. We're a nation that has Christian people dwelling in it. There has saved people dwelling in it. But God's influence in this nation is through the members of his body, the church, the body of Christ. And his influence is through the Word of God. And God is not blessing a nation that people look and say, well, we've been victorious in all the wars that we've ever fought. No, we haven't. We haven't. Many of them ended in stalemates. Many of them the soldiers gave millions of lives, and nothing ever came of that. It's just like being over in the Middle East right now, and I know I'm probably getting a little too political here, but come on, folks. We've been over there since 1991, I think it was, 1990, when the first war was Kuwait, and we could stay over 50 more years, and you're never going to change the fact that those people are fighting one another and hate one another. It's just not going to change. And you see, when we think about being a Christian nation, we think about our Constitution being founded upon Christian principles and so forth. Well, I'm not sure that you could ever go back, and I have no idea how many of our presidents may have been saved, trusted Christ as their Savior. Maybe some of them have, maybe none of them have. I don't know. But I don't believe that very many ever really were concerned about governing based on the principles of God's grace. You see, to say that we're a Christian nation is to misunderstand what it really means to be a Christian nation. And the fact is that God only had one nation. One nation. You know, we talk about being one nation under God. Well, God had a nation, and it was the nation Israel. I want you to go look back in Genesis chapter 12. And like I say, I didn't have any idea where this was going, we'll get back to where I was going to be in a minute. Genesis 12. Look there in verse 1. Now the Lord had said unto Abram, get thee out of thy country and from thy kindred and from thy father's house unto a land that I will show thee. And I will make of thee a great nation. And I will bless thee and make thy name great, and thou shalt be a blessing. And I will bless the nations that bless thee, and curse the nation. No, that's not what it says, is it? I will bless them that bless thee, and curse him that curses thee, and in thee shall all families of the earth be blessed. You see, there's not even a promise there of other nations blessing Abraham. It was through the individuals that would bless the nation Israel that they would have an opportunity of salvation. In Matthew 25, the nations are gathered before the judgment, and that judgment is based upon the nation's attitude and help for the nation Israel in their time of need. But that's the only time you'll see nations being judged and so forth. Today, God is dealing with individuals. And we as individuals should do everything we can to promote the doctrines and the truth of God's Word in the area in which we live, but also need to realize that there are powers in existence that are never going to be operating according to the Word of God. They have no intention. Paul, even in his day, said, evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. And so it is that we find ourselves in a world that is wrought with sin, and yet we have the peace of God that passes all understanding, not by believing somehow we can change the world, but that we could change people by preaching unto them the gospel of the grace of God and give them an eternal hope. Let me say to you that our country didn't become any more evil a week or so ago when the Supreme Court ruled that gays could be married. I want to ask you something. Is homosexuality worse than murder? No. Jerry's talking about that this morning. You know, we like to take those sins and put them in their categories. Look back in Romans chapter 1. In Romans chapter 1. Our government has been sanctioning the murder of unborn babies for years. Say, well, now you're getting into abortion debate and so forth. No, there's no debate, folks. There's no debate about it. When a child is conceived in the womb of a woman, it is a life. And when that life is ended, that's murder, if it's ended intentionally. I don't care what else you want to call it, what kind of spin you want to put on it. That's what it is. And the government has paid for them and made them legal. Say, well, people would do it anyway. That's my point. People have always been evil. People have always been sinful. And people are going to do what they want to do. I mean, how did prohibition work out for us back in the 30s? Everybody quit drinking? I don't think so. People are going to sin. People are going to sin because they're born sinners. And our government sanctions that. And listen, homosexuality, the fact that they passed that law or the Supreme Court made that ruling, doesn't make us any more sinful than we've ever been sinful. We've always been sinful because we're made up of sinful people. What's the only remedy? Christ died for our sins according to the Scriptures, and He was buried and He rose again the third day. It's not that we're going to make this world any better. It's that we're going to prepare people to get out of this world. Say, well, that's a pretty bleak outlook. No, it's not. It's not at all. It's a realistic and obtainable outlook. I mean, you think about how long mankind has been trying to change mankind. How successful have they been? But if you preach the gospel unto somebody and they get saved, you know what? You have changed their eternal destination eternally. And nobody can affect that. Nobody can change that. The president, the Congress, Supreme Court, nobody can change any of that. You see, over in Romans chapter 1, I mentioned out there at the camp the day after that passed, that was made, that there was a lot of posts on Facebook. And one of them in particular did this. They posted these verses, Romans 1, 26 and 27. And the verses say this: for this cause God gave them up into vile affections, for even their women did change the natural use into that which is against nature. And likewise also the men, leaving the natural use of the woman, burning their lust one toward another, men with men, working that which is unseemly, and receiving in themselves that recompense of their error which was meet. And then they posted verse 30. Who know in the judgment of God that they which commit such things are worthy of death, not only do the same, but have pleasure in them that do them. Now, you know why that misrepresented the truth? Look back in verse 28. And even as they did not like to retain God in their knowledge, God gave them over to a reprobate mind to do those things which are not convenient, being filled with all unrighteousness, fornication, wickedness, covetousness, maliciousness, full of envy, murder, debate, deceit, malignity, whisperers, backbiters, haters of God, despiteful, proud, boasters, inventors of evil things, disobedient to parents, without understanding, covenant breakers, without natural affection, implacable, unmerciful, who knowing the judgment of God. Did you see what just happened there? There's a whole bunch of those little sins got thrown in with those real big ones. Disobedience to parents, thrown right in there with homosexuality and fornication and wickedness and maliciousness and murder and debate and backbiters and haters of God and despiteful and proud? Whoa! Aren't we glad that we're not proud? Aren't we proud that we don't have a pride problem? Come on, folks. 2,000 years ago, over 2,000 years ago, the man Christ Jesus hung on a tree. And God made him to be sin for us. That took care of every sin issue. So in this dispensation, your sin has been taken care of. And when you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are eternally sealed unto the day of redemption. Now, should you try to make things better? I think we ought to do everything we can to exert our influence on a lost and dying world about us. But on the other hand, we need not be so wrapped up in all of that that we forget what the main objective is for for the saved person, and that is to make known the truth of the gospel and the word of God rightly divided. Because it's through that information that people in this terrible, sinful, rotten world can have peace. The peace of God that passes all understanding. You see, over in John chapter 8, a verse that we hear quoted all the time. John chapter 8. In verse 31, Jesus is speaking. Jesus then said, Jesus to those Jews which believed on him, if ye continue in my word, then are ye my disciples indeed, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Now think about that. You see, we have, no matter how suppressive the government might come, the saint of God is still free. You know what? The Apostle Paul sat in prison and called himself the prisoner of Jesus Christ for us Gentiles, and yet rejoiced in the fact that he was able to be there to do what God had him to do. You see, there's a freedom that nobody can ever take from you if you have believed the Word of God, trusted Jesus Christ as your Savior. The truth shall make you free. Free from what? Well, let's look at a couple of things. Look in Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8. Romans chapter 8. In Romans chapter 8, verse 1. Just a very short verse there. Paul says, there is therefore now no condemnation to them which are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. There is what? There is therefore now no condemnation. When you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you have been made free from condemnation. People might condemn you. Your family might condemn you. The world in general might condemn you. But listen, God will never condemn you. You are free from that condemnation. The truth. You know how you got that? By believing the truth. Paul said, study to show thyself approved unto God, a work that needs not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. And that word of truth that came to us, that Jesus Christ gave himself for ransom for all to be testified in due time. When a person believes that truth, they've been made free from condemnation. God will never condemn you. Why? Because he sees you in his Son, Jesus Christ. And if he were to condemn you, he would have to condemn his Son once again. And he only did that one time. Say, you mean he was condemned? Well, he cried out on that cross, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He was made to be sin for us. I remember Brother Moore, the first time I ever heard it, that passage really preached on. He said, he made the statement that on that cross, Jesus Christ became the harlot, the adulterer, the homosexual, and there were some people got upset with him. Well, come on, folks. How are you going to exclude one sin? The Bible says that God was in Christ reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses. Colossians 2:13, he's forgiven you all trespasses. Why is it that, how is it you can know for a certain fact that you're not condemned today? Look in Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1. Ephesians chapter 1, in verse 13, he says, in whom you also trusted, after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also after that ye believed, you were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise, which is the earnest of our inheritance until the redemption of the purchased possession, unto the praise of his glory. Wherefore I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and love unto all saints, cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. These people had faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. They had trusted Jesus Christ their Savior. And Paul said that came about when they believed the truth of the gospel of your salvation. And he said, when you believed, the moment you believed, You were sealed with that Holy Spirit of promise. Say, yeah, but you don't understand all the things I've done since then. Well, I don't care what you've done since then. As far as your salvation is concerned, the day you were sealed, you were sealed. And the Bible says, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are His. There is therefore now no condemnation. Like I say, people might condemn you in all kind of ways. But God will never condemn you if you're in His Son, Jesus Christ. He forgave all sins, all trespasses. So we've been made free from condemnation. Look back in Romans chapter 7. In Romans chapter 7. Romans chapter 7. Verse 6. Paul said, but now we are delivered from the law, that being dead wherein we were held, that we should serve in newness of spirit and not in the oldness of the letter. Say, well, we're Gentiles. We never were under the law anyway. No, but there are some folks that would sure like to put you under the law. They're trying to do it every day. There are people that tell you that you got to worship on the Sabbath. You got to abstain from this, abstain from that. And you can only know if you're really saved if you do this or do that. Well, when Jesus Christ hung on that cross, Jesus Christ, the Bible says that God nailed it, that law, to the cross. So that we're not under the law. We're not under the ordinances that people would try to impose. Religious ordinances that people want to impose today. Look over in Colossians chapter 2. Colossians chapter 2. I mean, when Paul was preaching and had some converts, and they went up to Jerusalem, you know what they wanted to do? They said, well, except you be circumcised, you can't be saved. What happened over at Galatia to those converts over there? Paul said, it's the grace of God. If any man preach any other gospel than I preached unto you, let him be accursed. If you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. Well, then there were those that were trying to put those that were saved under the law. They do that every week in denominational and religious churches. There are preachers that preach, if you don't tithe, God's not going to bless you. Jerry's talking about that deal this morning. It just irritates me to death when people equate the physical things that they go out and work 40 hours a week for and say, well, look how God's blessing me. Somebody drives up in the parking lot driving a Jaguar, and another one drives up driving a 69 Volkswagen. Boy, God's really blessing that fellow over there. Matter of fact, Mary and I were up in Pigeon Forge about 3 years ago. We went up there in October to the Gospel Music Festival that they have every year. And one of our favorite groups up there is the Kingdom Heirs. And their tenor had to quit the group at one point because he had a growth on his vocal cord. And so he had had surgery, and it turned out it was not cancerous. And so he had recovered, and so he had his own show. So he's singing, and puts on a great show. And as he is doing his thing, in between his songs, he would be talking about the Lord and so forth. And he began talking about how all that took place and what a traumatic experience that was, which I'm sure it was. But that now his music ministry was flourishing and how that God had blessed him. And on he went about how that just he was having more performances than he could actually do. And all this stuff about the blessings of the Lord. And he said, folks, you want to know why God's blessing me like that? He said, I can sum it up in one word. I thought, well, I want to hear this one. You know what he said? Tithing. Tithing. You believe people don't, if you think people don't believe that the blessings of God are tied up to their performance, you're sadly mistaken. Because religion has been teaching that for years. That if you'll do that, you see, that's a principle that they get straight out of the Bible. Why God over and over and over again told the nation of Israel, if you'll do this, then you'll have this blessing. If you do this, even one place over here, he says, if you'll eat these things and do this, you'll have none of these diseases. Somebody gave me a book one time titled None of These Diseases and said if you would eat this particular food, you wouldn't have any diseases. And I read through it. I couldn't find ribs in there, so I threw it away. You know what? None of those blessings are for us anyway, folks. They had the hallelujah diet based on the old, you know. Come on, you're going to go back to the Old Testament and pick out a diet? Which one are you going to pick out? Wasn't there a time where God said you can't eat any meat? Then there was a time said you can eat any meat? Well, which one are you going to do? You better rightly divide the word of truth and do the best you can and try to be healthy. Because God's not going to bless you based on what kind of food you eat or don't eat. He's not going to bless you based on how much money you give or don't give. He's not going to bless you based on your blessing of Israel or anybody else. He's going to bless you through His Son, Jesus Christ. And He already has with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. And one of the greatest of those is forgiveness of sins, being made free from the law, free from condemnation. And according to Romans chapter 6, we've been made free from sin. Look back there in Romans 6. In Romans chapter 6. I never did read Colossians 2. Hold on, stay there a minute. Colossians chapter 2. Verse 10. And ye are complete in Him, which is the head of all principality and power. Verse 13. And you, being dead in your sins, and the uncircumcision of your flesh hath He quickened together with Him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which was contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to His cross. And having spoiled principalities and powers, He made a show of them openly, triumphing over them in it. Let no man therefore judge you in meat, or in drink, or in respect of a holy day, or of the new moon, or of the Sabbath days, which are shadow things to come, but the body is of Christ. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worship of angels, intruding into those things which he hath not seen, vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind, and not holding the head, from which all the body, by joints and bands, having nourishment, ministered and knit together, increases with the increase of God. Wherefore, now notice, if ye be dead with Christ from the rudiments of this of the world, why as though living in the world are ye subject to ordinances? Touch not, taste not, handle not, which all are to perish with the using after the commandments and doctrines of men, which things have indeed a show of wisdom in will worship and humility and neglecting of the body, not in any honor to the satisfying of the flesh. You know what all that's talking about, folks? It's talking about being proud about what you're abstaining from versus what other people don't abstain from or what you partake of that others don't partake. And the fact is, you're complete in Christ, all your sins are forgiven, and you have all the spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ Jesus. Don't let somebody put you back under the law of ordinances or any other law. So, well, don't we have some commandments? Yes, you do. You've got 13 books. And Paul calls those the commandments of the Lord that he gave. And that's where your doctrine comes from. And if you get outside that doctrine and start trying to practice the doctrine of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, or the early part of Acts, or Hebrews through Revelation, you're going to end up in bondage to somebody or something sometime. Because the only true liberty and freedom that you find is in the dispensation of the grace of God, and that came through Christ Himself. Look back in Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5. In Galatians chapter 5, notice there in verse 1, stand fast. Not just stand fast. Don't let somebody move you away. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ has made us free, and be not entangled again with the yoke of bondage. Behold, I, Paul, say unto you, that if you be circumcised, Christ shall profit you nothing. The idea there, if you're dependent on your circumcision, then Christ is of no value to you. For I testify again to every man that is circumcised that he's a debtor to do the whole law. Brother Jerry quoted the verse this morning. If you break the law in one point, you're guilty of all of it. Well, then you better be glad that the law was taken out of the way. And the issue is today not whether you break the law or not, except that is man's law. We're driving down to Baton Rouge, and I don't always pay attention when I'm driving like I should, like to the gas gauge or to the speedometer. And I was on the interstate there right outside Tuscaloosa, and I guess I was having dreams of Bear Bryant or something. And I was over in the left-hand lane, had the cruise control set on about 74, you know, how we are. We'll take every little bit they'll give us. The speed limit 70, so you're going to always go just about as enough. You know, your idea is always go just far enough over that they won't stop you, isn't it? Just push it always to the limit. Well, I behind the car, and I pull over in the left lane, and there's a truck up there, and it's a car behind me, and I thought, well, I need to get out of the way. Unfortunately, he wasn't going out, I guess, quite as fast as I was, so I shired down on it and went by that truck and just went by time, topped the hill. And there a fellow sat in the median. And so I looked down. It looked like I was going about 80 miles an hour. And so I watched through my rearview mirror, and pretty soon I saw the blue lights back there, and I thought, he's coming after me. So he came up there, and he said, sir, do you have any idea how fast you were going? I said, no. He said, I lied. I didn't have any idea how fast I was going. He said, you're going 87 miles an hour in a 70 zone. What are you going to say? I mean, he got radar. I could turn to him and say, you don't understand, I'm not under the law. I'm under grace. And you know what? It would have been a wonderful thing if he had looked at me and said, I'm feeling real gracious today. I'm just going to forgive you of that. Y'all have a good trip. He didn't do that. He wrote me a ticket. State of Alabama got a bunch of my money. Now, just previous to that, we were down in Florida about 2 years ago, and a fella stopped us. We was just going into a town there, and it was a two-lane highway, and it was 55 miles an hour. And just as you get past the city limits, it dropped to 45. And I looked down. I'm still going 55 or close to 60. And I looked at that sign, and I said, man, I better slow down. And so about that time, this guy pulls out of the side road, and he comes over there and pulls me over. Driver's license, registration, I give it to him. And he said, you were going 56 miles an hour in a 45 miles zone. And I said, well, truth is I started slowing down. I just didn't notice it quick enough. And he said, well, I'll have to admit that sign does get on. It's pretty fast that people don't see that, or it's placed so it don't see it. So we went back to the car, and he stayed back there for the longest. I guess he's calling my license, see if I'd killed anybody or, you know, stolen anything. He came back up there, and he said, Mr. Atwood, y'all on vacation down here? I said, yes, sir, we are. And he said, well, we appreciate you coming to the state of Florida. Here's your driver's license, your insurance. Y'all be careful. I'm not going to give you a ticket today. We appreciate you coming here and vacationing. Now, that patrolman right there understood grace. It's like years ago, Tim, one time, you know, he got a lot of whippings as a young boy. And one day he had done something, and Mary waited for me to get home. And so I took Tim back to the bedroom there. And I said, Tim, your mom said this happened, and so forth. I said, what do you think I ought to do? He said, well, what I'd like for you to do just this one time is show a little grace. Folks, let me tell you something. We all need grace. We're all sinners. Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. You shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. You see, Jesus Christ said that and then gave that message that would make us free. Free from the law, free from condemnation, free from sin. Look back in Romans chapter 6. Romans chapter 6. In Romans chapter 6, I'm glad y'all gave me that part before you found out what a sinner I was. I got a suspicion you've known all along. Romans chapter 6, verse 15. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? God forbid. Know ye not that to whom ye yield yourselves servants to obey, his servants you are, to whom you obey, whether of sin unto death or of obedience unto righteousness. But God be thanked that ye were the servants of sin, but you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine which delivered you. Being then made free from sin, ye became the servants of righteousness. You see, folks, sin doesn't have dominion over you. You say, well, I still sin. Yeah, but your sin has been paid for. Sin doesn't have dominion over you. I like the question the fellow used to ask. What sin is it that we just have to commit? Now, I know we do. But the fact is, the Bible said we've been made free from sin. Why? Because Jesus Christ settled the sin issue 2,000 years ago. Sin doesn't have dominion over us. Sin cannot bring death unto us. Oh, we're going to still experience physical death. The wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So we have that liberty. We have freedom. And we have the grace of God bestowed upon us. All of those things are things that the government can never legislate. Say, well, they could make you quit preaching grace. They could shut down the church. They could never change who I am in Christ. They can never do that. Say, well, people have been put to death for their faith and what they believe. So be it, but it didn't change it. People died believing that they were going to be raised again. We have peace. Put back in Romans 5 and we'll wrap up. Romans chapter 5. Jesus Christ said over there, ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. I mean, you could just go on making a list of all the things we've been made free from in the Scripture. But Paul calls it liberty. And he said to stand fast in the liberty wherewith Christ hath made us free. In Romans chapter 5, verse 1, therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. We have peace with who? God. God's not angry at you. God's not looking down on mankind and waiting for him to step out of line so he can dole out punishment and cause this person to have a bad experience and this person to have a disease. No, God. Listen, folks, we are living in the dispensation of the grace of God. God is not judging nations today. He's not judging individuals. He judged our sin through his Son at Calvary 2,000 years ago. And if you've never trusted him, what you need to do today is receive Jesus Christ as your Savior, and you'll be saved eternally from this day forward, sealed under the day of redemption, and nothing will ever be able to change who you are in Christ. Say, but won't I have to live it? It won't change who you are in Christ. Your standing before God is based on who you are in Christ. Your state is, you're still walking around in a body of flesh, sinful flesh, but what you do in your flesh will never change who you are in Christ. And where religion has it backwards is that they teach people that what you do in your flesh will determine who you are in Christ. I was reading a little brochure from a church not long ago, and it was talking about teaching and preaching the Word of God to people so that they can become complete in Christ. Well, you know what Paul said? He said, ye are complete in Christ. You see, your completeness in Christ doesn't have anything to do with you doing things in your flesh. That's a positional statement. And the rest of the chapter talks about how you ought to respond to that. Because you're complete in Christ, don't let somebody tell you you've got to do something to make you more complete. I mean, incomplete kind of a word that doesn't need it. Complete is complete. You can't be more complete than complete. It means you've got everything you need in Christ Jesus. You might not have everything you need to do everything you want to do on this earth, but you got everything you need to get from this earth to an inheritance with your Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. And you can have that by faith. Jesus Christ died for our sins, according to Scriptures. He was buried. He was raised again the third day, according to Scriptures. And if you will believe that and receive that free gift, you too will be free. Free indeed. The truth shall make you free. What truth? The truth of the glorious gospel of Jesus Christ that I just quoted to you. The truth that the moment that you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior, you are sealed in the day of redemption and you are complete in Him. Would you stand with me for prayer?